Be seated, please. Okay, I'd like to welcome any visitors we have this morning. I see some beautiful family come back to see us again. We're so thrilled about that. And if it's your first time or second time here and you haven't filled out a little card to give us some information about yourself, there's a pouch in the envelope in the pouch in front of you there. And should be a pen in there. If you'd fill that out, give us a little information. Put that in a basket on the way out that door. There's a basket on the right-hand side. We'd sure love it if you'd just kind of let us know a little bit about yourself. And we just love to come in here and praise and worship our Lord. And we got us got our announcements, and we'll have let him come on over here and give us our announcements.
Thanks for stalling for me. Good morning, Lake Country. Hope everybody's awake. Good to see y'all here. A few announcements, if you'll join me in your bulletin. Prayer meeting every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. is back here in this back room here. Women's Bible study is Tuesday nights at 6:30. Wednesday night services are 6 p.m. And exciting news, next Sunday, of course, we have Freddie Coyle coming to join us, and he'll be leading Sunday school and the worship service. So if you can be here for one or both of those, hopefully both, we'd really love to have y'all, and please invite a friend. He's really a lot of fun to hear. It'll be a great experience. If you haven't heard him before, we know you'll enjoy it. So anyway, join me in prayer if you would. Lord, we come to you right now. We thank you for this time, this fellowship, this place of worship, Lord. We thank you for the unity that we have here in this body of believers. We thank you for unifying us as one body, for being our Father, for your plan of salvation through faith. We thank you for this time of worship, our worship leaders, musicians, people that work in the background that probably don't get recognized often enough. We thank you for them, their efforts. And we thank you for those who would lead us through Scripture, both in Sunday school and worship. We ask, Lord, your continued leading over them and where you would have them to lead us in your word, that we would hear it, that we would receive it, and be able to apply it in our lives. In this fellowship, blessing one another and those we encounter as we leave these doors, this place, your home. We thank you, Lord, for this time together, and we ask your blessing over it in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning will be in the book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verses 12 through 20. Page 771. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 20. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But if you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things.
Well, good morning, church. Good to be here with you this morning. I'm having difficulties. All right. Can you hear me? Good. Some of you are probably mumbling to yourself, yeah, you're having difficulties. These just don't last forever. Let me see if I can't. Is that any better? Hello? Good? Brad, sign Arbin up again for a special. I looked out and I didn't see anybody that wasn't smiling. And that brought back fond memories. That song always does. Home, Mama, Daddy. That is the vein in which we'll be looking at in 1 John. An aged pastor speaking to those that he has invested his life in is the picture that I get. 1 John. Let's look to the Lord in word prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for grace. Father, we thank you for the free gift of eternal life. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who indwells us, leads us, guides us, teaches us, corrects us, convicts us, empowers us. Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, for Christ who makes intercession for us even at this time. Thank you, Father, for your word, that it's accurate. It's not only truth from cover to cover, but it is your word. And so, Father, we thank you for it and for you preserving it for us down through the ages. So, Father, we ask you, God, this time together in the Word, teach us the things you'd have us to know. Father, we'll give you the honor and praise. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. What a day yesterday. I was not here, but I understand that there were some things taken care of at the church that needed to be taken care of. And so those are taken care of, and I appreciate those that were here to participate in that and do the back-breaking labor that this old man can't do. So I thank you for that. Let me say this. It did my heart good to see a motorcycle roll up this morning. I love motorcycles. Mama never would let me have one. Daddy probably would, but Mother wouldn't. The reason she wouldn't is I had an older brother that had a Harley Davidson. The experience wasn't all that great. And my next to oldest brother, he had a Cushman motor scooter, and it didn't turn out too well. So I was on down the line, and I wasn't able to have one, but I always loved them. And rode on my brothers with him, and that even brings back fond memories. I'm told there was a wedding and picnic taking place, and in attendance was a Jewish rabbi and a Catholic priest. And they were good friends, and they were at a community gathering and having the treats to eat. And so the priest was eating a sandwich, ham sandwich, a good ham sandwich. And the rabbi was just standing there watching. And the priest said, well, brother, said, why don't you go get you a ham sandwich? He said, I know you're not supposed to eat them, but this is really good and you would enjoy it. And I think you ought to take and have a sandwich with me. To which the rabbi replied, sure, at your wedding. So, gracious. 1 John. Let's get on to business. 1 John. We looked at the beginning of 1 John over the last couple of Sundays. and we had the experience of seeing how John wrote to these ones that he considered dear friends. The tenderness. He used words such as fathers, such as young men in this epistle. He wrote with tender terms because he had a tenderness towards them. I can somewhat sympathize or empathize with him in his tenderness towards these ones in which he had invested time. I have ones here that are here this morning who I invested time with, some back in the late 60s, early 70s. And into the 80s. They're dear to me. They are close to me. I feel tenderness towards them. I want God's blessing upon them and their lives. I have others who were with me in the founding of a church in Canton, Texas. And I invested time in them. I still have tenderness to them. I have an opportunity from time to time to see various ones. And there is a bond there that does not come through brief encounters. But it's a bond that is forged and made with time, with concern, with effort, going through difficult times, death of family members, weddings, the joy of weddings, the heartache of child dying. Been through that with these ones, and that has forged a bond that is very dear to me. So I can empathize with John writing here in 1 John. As a brief reference back to what we have looked at in past Sundays, turn with me if you would, or you can just sit there. I have these written down. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. John's encouragement to these ones, in fact, the ones that he had invested time in, that he had shared the truth of the Word of God with, those who he had communed with, ate with, probably even lodged with. He writes to these ones with these instructions. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world. We look outside. We drove to church this morning in this place which we call the world. John is referring to a world system. We have a world system in effect today. Not a very good one. In fact, a dangerous one. But yet we live in this world system. This world system that God's Word calls satanic. In this world system in which we see greed, in which we see ambition, which we see having pleasure, a deceit, lies, all things that are unpleasant, all things that are against the Word of God, this world system. As we look a little bit deeper at this world system, we would see two world systems in existence. One which is God's, and God's purpose encompasses this world system that we refer to as God's world system. The other is Satan's world system. We see it in plenty of evidence today. Just look around us. Read the news. Hear the stories of family members who have gone astray, experienced breakups in marriages and homes, the heartache that's there, the death of loved ones, of children. We see that in this world system. Man is subject this morning. You and I are subject this morning to one of these two world systems. We are either guided by and directed by and influenced by the world system with Satan at its head, or else we are responsive to caring for, propagating the world system that we would term God's world system. Since the saved have already experienced victory over Satan and this satanic world and trusting Christ as their personal Savior, we need to carry forward the conquest that we have experienced through salvation by not loving this world system, by not being influenced by this world system, by not losing the peace that God promises those who are His children, by not losing that peace through distress over this old world system. I told my wife the other day, we can't get away from instantaneous world news headlines coming across our phones immediately. There will be a notification, and I'll pull my phone out thinking it might be a text or might be an email from somebody that I need to respond to, and it's a world event where something has gone wrong, where a new famine has taken place or started, where flooding is taking place, constantly bombarded from wake up until nighttime by these world events, robbing us of the peace that God has promised us as His children. Come on, folks, I had to tell myself, and I'm telling you this morning, come on, folks, don't let this world system that Satan has instigated and has in power at this point in time, don't let it influence our daily walk with peace and confidence in the fact that God is in control. God is in control. In verse 16, we read, "For all that is in the world," this is pretty all-encompassing, "for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." How many of us are guided by the things that we see, that we desire? Boy, I wish I had that. I was standing at the vanity in one of our bathrooms getting ready to go somewhere. I turned the hot water on, and I stood there with my fingers under the hot water stream that should have been hot, but it was cold. And it ran cold and ran cold and ran cold and ran cold and finally began to warm up. And I thought to myself, boy, that's a lot of wasted water, a lot of wasted time sitting here or standing here waiting for this water to get warm. I was immediately reminded of the fact, Mike, there's people in this world that wish they had running water. They wish that they had purified water. What are you complaining so about? We get wrapped up in things that we don't have, the little things that cause irritation. I don't know about you, but one of the most irritating things that I have ever experienced are chiggers. Boy, now that's irritating. Maybe even mosquitoes. Those are little bitty insects that affect our lives, and it's very discomforting. We are allowing, if you would, the mosquitoes, the chiggers of this life, to rob us, if you would, of our joy and peace that God would have us to have. He who is born of God alone turns to God. That's our remedy for the distresses of this life. God is the one who we turn to. You know, I see so many things going on that causes me concern. How believers have lost their joy for whatever reasons. they have become disenchanted with their walk with the Lord. You see, John is here drawing the contrast between those who know Christ and those who do not know Christ. He lists the things that are of this world. Lust of the flesh. There was a person in early scripture by the name of Eve who saw that the tree was good for food. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, she succumbed to, and so did Adam. Lust of the eye, Eve looked, and she saw that the tree was good for food. Lust of the flesh, Eve saw that the tree was good to look at. The pride of life, Eve looked, and saw that the tree was to be desired, make one wise. This is what John is referring to. The stumbling blocks, if you would. The chug holes of life, if you would. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are not of our Heavenly Father. These are of Satan, by which he attempts to sidetrack us, cause us to worry, to lose our joy, to lose our peace, to lose our confidence, if you would, in Christ and in God our Heavenly Father who loves us like no one else. We find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, and the world passeth away. This word here, the Greek, passeth away means is passing. It's in the process of passing. It's not past, but it is passing. John writes in verse 18 and calls the ones he's writing to little children. Little children. Little children are precious. These people were precious to John. And he writes, little children, it's the last time. And as you've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There is coming a man one day that is the Antichrist, who will head up this world system, who will promote himself as God himself. That is the Antichrist. But as we look around us today, we see many men who would fit the role of the Antichrist, those that would curb, if you would, us in our worship. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, they went out from us, John said, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Some had left following after Christ. These are ones that John said and indicates never knew Christ. Pseudo-Christians will not stay when the times get tough. They will not stay under the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. They will not embrace the freeness of the gift of eternal life. They will not have a faith that causes them to come and to worship with us. They depart. We find here these are ones that John warns against. In verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. How do we know all things? Well, we have the Holy Spirit, the teacher of the believer. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, will guide you into all truth. This is found in John, the Gospel of John. will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore saith, or said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, this is the Spirit of truth. And he comes into the believer's life when the moment we trust Christ, he indwells everyone who trusts Christ as their personal Savior. He is their guide. He is their teacher. He is their convictor. He is their encourager. We find here in verse 21, he says here, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. John's purpose in writing the book of 1 John, and as you read the book of 1 John, John's purpose is to give these ones who he called dear children, young men, fathers, those terms that would describe people that he knew in his ministry, he gives to them this encouragement. But we have an unction. We have a one who builds us up, who strengthens us from the Holy One. And you know all things. We've been taught, are being taught by Spirit of Truth, i.e. the Holy Spirit. What an opportunity that we have, that God gives us, to be his ambassadors here while we're on earth. To be faithful in all that God would have us to do, but primarily faithful in the gospel message, sharing with other people. John writes in verse 21, I've not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. John is saying, I'm not writing to you to give you something new. I'm writing to you to share with the things that you should already know, the things that you should already be obedient to. I am writing to you to, if you would, reaffirm these truths. These people knew the gospel. These people, some had fallen away in their faithfulness in their walk with the Lord. John writes in verse 22, Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. When he was writing earlier where he said there today, there are many Antichrists, he's referring to these ones who have fallen away, who deny that Christ is who he said he was. They deny the fact of what he said he had done, that we might have eternal life. They are completely, if you would, reprobate in their walk with the Lord. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Antichrist. He's already here. This is what we're seeing in the world around us this morning, today. This is the description of the Antichrist in verse 22. Who is a liar? Answer, Antichrist. But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. People who deny Christ, calling God a liar, they, if you would, may I suggest, are Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, but they are Antichrist. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Deny what God's Word tells us in the Word of God. Deny the payment that Christ made for us on the cross as not being complete. We studied some of this in Sunday school this morning, and I enjoyed every bit of it. As we go back over things that I have been taught in years past, but reaffirmed. how easy it is for us to sit under people who stand behind pulpits who declare a message that is not the message that God has for us in order to receive eternal life. Phrases. Well, first, in Sunday school this morning, it was mentioned it's not always peaceable to call or to name names of those who are off in their message, especially those who have churches of mega size, those who have the bands, the music, the productions that some have, those that don't have pastors who stand up in ripped jeans and tennis shoes, but who have an unclear message. I'm being kind when I say unclear. Phrases such as, we should be able to recognize some of these. Give Jesus your heart. Give Jesus your life. These are all things that they want people to do. Christ says, all I want you to do is to believe me, that I love you, that I've died, that I've paid for all of your sin. Believe me. But other people who are out there who are making big bucks would have you dedicate your life, turn over a new leaf. Let's walk the aisle this morning. Let's do whatever. Man's effort. I call that backloading the gospel. If we add anything that man should do or people should do in order to have eternal life other than believe, that person is wrong. And the list is long today, believers. The list is long. But I find that also in quote-unquote Christian entertainment. We might take a stand when we hear a pastor misquote, misspeak, spread something that is not true, but we will go and we will be entertained by those who give a good time under quote-unquote Christian settings that do not have a clear message. We call that entertainment. We give that some space for them to wiggle around, if you would, in. We're not as strong against the era if it's Christian entertainment than we are if it's someone standing behind the pulpit. We ought to be careful that we are not denying who Christ is by being in attendance to this Christian entertainment. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Folks, we cannot deny one without denying the other, is what John is simply saying to us this morning. We continue on, and we read in verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. John is just simply saying, let's get back to where we ought to be. Let's get back to the truth and not to all of these other things that are floating around in this satanic world that we see around us. Abide in you those things which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Let me say this. Over the years, countless people I have seen drift away from the Lord. People that I loved, people that I had invested time in, people that at one time were eager in their service for the Lord but have grown cold. If the word does not abide in a person who says they know Christ as Savior, that person will eventually drift away from his walk with the Lord. church attendance will begin to slide. Bible study will begin to slide. Reading the scriptures will begin to slide. And we replace those with other things of this world. Or we replace those with other things that are produced by people who do not hold the same standards that the Word of God has for salvation. We ought to be careful about that. Verse 25, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. There are people who are wanting to seduce those who say they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They want to seduce them, and many times that's used in a way in which would be unfitting to speak of here, but this seduction is to draw you away for their benefit. They want to give you something that you'll come to, that you will embrace, that you will give your money to them. So they want to seduce you, promise you things. This is the promise that He's promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. There is a warning here for those who are false teachers. They give a tremendous message, one that's easy to listen to, one that will draw your attention and draw you away from your walk with the Lord. These are warnings against false teachers, and there are many false teachers out there. I could name some, but I'm sure I would offend you and you would offend me because you got offended. Won't name them. Verse 27, but the anointing which you've received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Speaking of the Holy Spirit here in verse 27, this anointing, this which you've received of Him, abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. This Holy Spirit that we have as believers will teach us, will guide us. They will teach you of all things, John says, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it taught you, you shall abide in Him. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, third person of the Holy Spirit indwells us, and He is the final authority on what is true and what is not true. We find in verse 28, and now, little children, abide in Him, and when He shall appear, we may have confidence, not be ashamed before Him at His coming. It's possible for a believer to be ashamed at the rapture of the church. Obedience, assurance, make the coming of Christ a joyful anticipation. Disobedience, divergence from your walk with the Lord will not make that as quite enjoyable an experience as you'd have otherwise. The believer's never lost. One who's trusted in Christ alone will never be lost. However, rewards he will suffer loss on. So it would be advisable at that day that you receive the rewards that God promises those who's faithfully served Him down through the ages. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. I have a little grandson, great-grandson, matter of fact. His great-grandson, Jacob. We call him Jake. Jake is 18 months old now. And you know, he mimics everything. He mimics the way I walk. He mimics the way that I talk. as best he can. He mimics the way in which we sing to him. He's a mimicker. Here, John is saying, well, we ought to mimic present day language. We ought to mimic Jesus Christ. We ought to mimic his walk. We ought to mimic his talk. This is a time in which we, if ever before, we need to stand in the simplicity of the gospel. It's possible for a believer to be ashamed at the rapture. Don't be one of those. Verse 29, if you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Just like Jake mimicking me, we ought to mimic Christ in our walk. Him. Little children, fathers, young men, those who are strong, those who are weak, God is encouraging them in their walk with the Lord. My prayer for you and for me this morning is that we mimic Christ's walk, mimic his message in its simplicity, mimic the need, as he well shared with his apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We ought to do that. That's our responsibility. We are his ambassadors. My prayer for you, and your prayer should be for me, for one another, that we mimic Christ in all that we say and do. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, that you have left us a teacher indwelling us. He guides our thoughts. He guides our walk. He guides, Father, our very beings in this life that we have here. Looking forward to the life that we have with you in heaven forever and ever. Thank you for the freeness of that gift. Father, we come to you this morning. We ask your blessings upon each one that's here this morning. Ask you to bless them extra special good, meet their needs abundantly. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.